friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, June the 7th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And I am grateful, my friends, for you once again to be present with me through this wonderful medium of technology and podcasting that we can break open God's Word together. And we are going to look at the readings for this coming weekend, which typically do, first reading and gospel, and we are back in ordinary time. It is the 10th Sunday of ordinary time. You may be wondering, why on earth, Joe, are we doing the 10th Sunday of ordinary time? I will talk a little bit about ordinary time and what that means and why we're landing on 10 on the other side of the readings. But for those who want to follow along as we proclaim God's Word, I'm going to read from the first reading, again, very famous. You're going to know this one. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 to 15. So we're going to talk about the fall, right? Because you know that's Genesis 3. Then we're going to go into Mark, because again, year B is the year of Mark. And so we're going to follow along a lot of Mark as we move through ordinary time for these coming weeks. And it's Mark chapter 3, kind of a long one today, verses 20 to 35. I'm going to read it in full, even though I'm only going to focus on parts of that. But we'll see that as we come up. So again, brothers and sisters, grateful that you are with me, however it is that you prepare yourself to open yourself to the Word of God, that it may find a home within you. I invite you to do that at this time, and just open yourself to what and how the Word of God will make its effect, its life within you. A reading from the book of Genesis. After the man, Adam, had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered him, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good stuff, huh? I mean, there's so much there. There's so much imagery. I'm not going to get to all of it. I'm not even going to get to most of it. But we're going to get to some of it, okay? But if there was a word, an idea, an image, a phrase that struck you, invite the Word of God to speak to you at this time through that, okay? You just sit with that. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives them out." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies the people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. But he said to them in reply, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is brother and sister and mother to me. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is so good, right? I mean, there's so much there. And again, I'm just not going to get to most of it. Anyway, I guess we'll just kind of leave that up to the Spirit. I mean, that whole idea of that, listen, every sin, brothers and sisters, that is a good news gospel. Every sin that we forgive can be forgiven. Everyone, that we commit can be forgiven, except the sin against the Holy Spirit. Whoa. And what is that? You know, again, it's bigger than me. But the idea that we are not open to the newness of the Spirit. Remember that Jesus, what Jesus is saying, his mission statement in Mark's gospel is repent, right? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning turn around, open your eyes, think differently, because God is here. And I suspect this is me throwing something against the wall, and but it's bigger than what I'm saying, but I think I'm not off the target anyway. Is I think Jesus is saying, listen, if you can't even open yourself to the surprise of God, that God can come new in new ways and invite us into new places, if we are rigid and we have God in whatever box we've placed God within, if we cannot go beyond that, the Spirit can't work with us. We are closed to the Spirit. I think that's where Jesus is pointing. Again, I'm not even going to talk more about that. I talked more about that than I planned to, right there. There's so much in these. I mean, this is good stuff. Okay, so let's go back, even before we break open the first reading, let's talk about ordinary time, okay? We are in ordinary time now, 10th Sunday of ordinary time, for the first time since February 11th, which was the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. And that, if memory serves, and I didn't look, it was the seventh Sunday of ordinary time. And so we have been out of ordinary time, what is it, February 11th, to March, to April, to May, to June, 4 months. We've been out of it for 4 months. And we've been in what's called privileged time. That time... privileged time does not mean wonderful, good, happy, everything's going great times. Unfortunately not. It means they are extraordinary. It is not ordinary, but things that are extraordinary are happening. We set aside time of fasting and prayer and almsgiving and Lent. That is extraordinary. That is privileged. Because even in absence, God makes God's self present, right? Even in the midst of sacrifice and loss, that there's nothing privileged about that, right? We don't feel privileged in loss when our loved ones leave or are taken from us, when our memories begin to fade, or our abilities, or our job ends, or whatever it is. We don't feel privileged, but those are moments when perhaps we open ourselves more to the Spirit and presence of God because we cannot move through those alone. Then we go into the 50 days of Easter, right? And we celebrate God's new life through those times of loss, through those times of gratitude, of exception, when the baby comes, right? Or when a new relationship begins, or whatever it is that God is present. Again, that's what's called privileged time. Even the last 2 weeks, Body and Blood of Christ, the Holy Trinity, privileged time. And so we've spent literally 4 months almost in this privileged time, special times that we look to and invite God's presence into it. And more importantly, of course, God is there, how we open ourselves within those special moments and days and events to the presence of God. But most of life isn't lived in privileged time, is it? Most of life is lived in the ordinary, the day in and the day out. And so ordinary time takes up the great, vast amount of the liturgical calendar. In fact, we will be in ordinary time, brothers and sisters, from this day, officially, what, today's June 7th, but June 9th would be the 10th Sunday, until November the 24th. There may be one or two feasts thrown in there that fall on a Sunday just by accident, and so we celebrate them. But effectively, for the next, what is that, six-ish months, five-ish months, we're going to be in the day-in, day-out, ordinary comings and goings of our lives, but of opening ourselves to the God that walks with us in the midst of those ordinary times. All the way until the Feast of Christ the King, which is going to be November 24th later this year, which invites us into, right, privileged time again, because we start with that feast day, and then Advent and the Christmas season. Moments set aside for special happenings and special events and special ways of approaching those and preparing ourselves. So this is ordinary time. Okay, why is it the 10th Sunday? As you know, I've mentioned before, we never have a first Sunday of ordinary time. So when we got out of the Christmas season, after the Feast of Epiphany and the Baptism of the Lord, we went into the second Sunday of ordinary time. And then we walked through, I believe, five of those to the seventh, and then went into Lent. But because when we got out of Lent, this is just kind of a quick thing, and maybe you don't even care, but I'm just a nerd and I like this stuff. So when we got out of Lent and got out of Easter, then the Feast of Pentecost, right, closes the Easter season. Well, even though we didn't celebrate ordinary time on the next 2 weekends, because we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Trinity and the Feast of the Most Blessed, the Body and Blood of Christ, the weekdays were ordinary time. And so the Monday after Pentecost was Monday of the eighth week of ordinary time. And so we had the eighth week of ordinary time, then we had the Feast of the Holy Trinity, then we had the ninth week. Oh no, I think I might be, that was the seventh week anyway, I might be one off. There were ordinary time then. Then we had that feast day, then there was another week of ordinary time, Monday to Saturday. And then we had the feast last week, and then there was, this last week would have been the ninth week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of ordinary time. And so we enter into the 10th. I know, that was a long, like, Joe, we don't care about this. Okay, let's get to the readings. Far more important. But anyway, there's the ordinary time lesson. Okay. So here's the thread I'm going to pull through the gospel and through the first reading. Obviously, we know the first reading, right? The story of Adam and Eve, the fall, and how sin entered the world. Remember, as Catholics, brothers and sisters, we don't believe this to be literal in the sense that there was that the story went exactly like this, that there was a literal Adam and Eve, you know, 4,000 years ago or whatever it is that they were born, and this is how the story went. This is what we call, I'll use the term mythology, but don't just think that means untrue. No, mythology ultimately means the deepest truth, but we believe this word to be true as Catholics. We believe this word to be true in the sense of it invites us into a deeper truth than there were two people and this interaction with God happened. I hope that it deserves far more than I just gave. But if anybody ever asks you, is the story of Adam and Eve or Noah true? As Catholics, we would say, absolutely. But the truth is at a deeper level, okay? The first 11 chapters of Genesis we call pre-history. I'm not making this up. This is Catholic teaching. We call it prehistory. And history, we would say, enters in with a historical person of Abraham. Abram, as he's called in chapter 11. But we'll get there later, right? So, Joe, what's the point? The point is, what's the truth that this is pointing us to? All right. After the man, Adam had eaten of the tree. What tree did he eat of, right? Remember, there were two trees in the middle that God, and God said, you can eat of everything, but don't eat of this tree. And it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what's wrong with that? Is the tree of knowledge, which we've shortened it to, which we never should. Tree of knowledge is wonderful, brothers and sisters. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you and I think we know what is good, and we think we know what is bad. And the minute we eat of that tree, the fruit of that tree, we place ourselves in the shoes, in the person of God. Because only God knows what is good and what is evil. Only God knows if a person is acting, well, not acting, I won't say that. But we like to, let me use this phrase and idea, we like to separate the world into the good and the bad, into the in and the out, the right and the just and the unjust, right? But we don't have that capability. When we begin pointing and we begin dividing, we take on the role of God, and God looks at us and says, you don't have that ability. You're eating of the fruit of the tree of which you have no right, no position, no authority to eat. That is for me, right? Judgment is mine, says the Lord, right? And so what Adam and Eve did, what humanity has done, and what we, you and I, continue to do. That's why this is so true, brothers and sisters. We continue. We always eat from this tree, right? And I love this image. Okay, so we've eaten from the tree, and we hide because we understand our own nakedness, our own shame, our own guilt. And when we do that, we hide from God in that guilt, as if that will keep God from seeing us. And up to that point, humanity and God, they commune together in this garden, in this place of oneness, in this place of relationship. And the minute we take on whatever it is that causes us to hide, and we do it in legion of ways, right? We hide from our very selves. We hide from God. We hide from one another because we carry that guilt, that baggage. To be human is to carry baggage. To carry guilt and shame, consciously and unconsciously, that hides us from ourselves, from others, and from God. It separates. And that's what's happening here. And I'll say one more thing about this story. Again, there's far more to do it. But when God eventually talks with them and says, listen, you've eaten that, right? And listen to Adam's reply. The woman... So again, it's a blame game, right? Again, it is so human because we do it too all the time. This is our story. It is not just a story from thousands of years ago. It is true today. The woman who you put here with me, she gave me the fruit and so I ate it. Ultimately, it's not my fault. Ultimately, it's the woman's fault, but really it's not hers either. Why? Because you did this. You gave her to me. So ultimately, God, this is your fault, but if it's not your fault, it's her fault. It's everything external to us, and it's somebody else's fault. And the woman, of course, has the same pattern. The Lord said to the woman, and you know, why did you do such a thing? The serpent tricked me into it. It's the serpent's fault. What, brothers and sisters, I think what a life lived in God means is not that we will be free from guilt or shame or hiding from God or what we call sin. I mean, there's a lot packed in that word of making decisions that are poor. But what a life lived in God means is that we own up to it, that we don't hide. I mean, we're going to hide from God. But after that moment of hiding, be it a moment or a day or a week or whatever, that we look to God and say, yes, I was wrong. And I'm sorry, and I need you. It's a life lived in repentance as, I mean, again, remember Jesus' mission. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Doesn't just mean repentance, meaning say you're sorry, meaning think differently, live differently, turn around. There's more here. And I think those of us who attempt, and you all wouldn't be listening to this goofball, you know, on a podcast if you weren't one of those two who wishes to live a life differently. And that's what this life calls us into. Okay, let's get to the gospel quick, and then I'll close. I know I'm already sitting here at 20 minutes. I just simply want to talk about the last part of the gospel. Okay, so Jesus' mother's brothers, sisters come, and you may be thinking, but I thought Jesus was an only child and Mary ever virgin. Yes, this doesn't say no to any of that, and that's a different podcast and a longer one, and I won't get into it today. Ultimately, we're talking his relatives. That's the word that was used in the first part of the gospel, and there are reasons, and smart reasons, not just we're trying to avoid this. No. I mean, there's really, really good reasons to believe these are just cousins, and that's what we're talking about. But ultimately, his family. His family is there, okay? And his family has come because they don't understand what he's doing. And they're wondering, I'm like, does this make sense? We gotta pull him out of this because it's not making sense. And Jesus, of course, is teaching to the crowds, and he looks out at everybody and says, listen, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? And in Mark's gospel here, he says, here, you are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is mother and brother and sister to me. All right? In Luke's version, same thing. I mean, obviously, Luke would have used Mark's rendition. It's just told a little bit differently. Again, the mother and brothers come, unable to join him. He was told, your mother and brothers are standing outside and wish to see you. And then he said to them in reply, my mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act upon it. So here in Mark, it just says, for those who do the will of God. And Luke, it says, hear the word of God and act upon it. I'm going to use more of the Lucan frame because I like it. I think Mark implies it. And so that's why I'm not trying to go outside of Mark's gospel. Brothers and sisters, this is the thread, I think, that ties us to the first reading. If indeed the play in the garden is played out today in your life, wherever you are, you are invited to make choices. You have free will, as do I. And good will be presented to us. And I don't want to say evil, but choosing ourselves will be presented to us rather than the will of God, the will of ourself. Which will you choose today? And how will you know the difference? That's really the question, isn't it? How do we know the difference between what is my will and what is the will of the one who created me, the will of God, the will of goodness, the will of life and love? And the only way, brothers and sisters, I know of to be able to discern that is to sit and listen. That's why I want to point to Luke's version, is to hear the word of God. And once I know that, to act upon it. Brothers and sisters, we are not some more of our evangelical brothers and sisters, and bless them, that will say, listen, what we have to do is accept Jesus into our heart, and that grace comes, and we are saved, and we are good to go. Hey, listen, they carry part of the truth. We need to accept Jesus. Every time we accept the Eucharist, we need to accept Jesus into our life, into our hearts, into our day, into our day in, day out, ordinary lives, and live that and say yes to it. Amen. And it is all grace. It is all grace. But Jesus didn't just end there, right? He didn't just say, hear the word of God, say yes to the word of God. He said, then we need to act on that word. We need to defend those who are in need. Any house that is divided, we need to help mend. We need to act on the word of God. Jesus is clear about that in both Mark and in Luke. Whoever does the will of God, we cannot just know I can't eat of that fruit of that tree, and so therefore I'm not going to. We have to actively not do so. We have to actively keep others from not doing so. We have to, whatever it is not just intellect and will, it is action. Orthodoxy, needs orthopraxy. Right thinking needs right action. All right? And we are invited every day, what fruit will I eat today? And you know what? Some days, brothers and sisters, we will make poor choices. But remember, every sin can and will be forgiven. We just need to own up and not hide and bring that to our God. But the ones who do the will of God, the ones who listen well, and brothers and sisters, how God speaks to you is going to be different than how God speaks to the person next to you and how God speaks to me. But we must, and I know I've said this before, we must learn the language in which God speaks to us. Because only then can we hear, and only in hearing can we then pray and ask God for the courage to act, to live out of that place. Both are important. Hearing and acting. And it's a circle that we need to continually be a part of. I know I've gone on far longer than I thought. I thought this is going to be a quick one today, but I just keep talking. Anyway, that's enough for today. We're invited into this same story of Adam and Eve. We are in the garden, and we commune with God until we don't. And our God invites us into that very relationship, into being family, right? But to be family, we need to own up to the times we have not made good decisions, and we need to listen well and act when our God speaks to us. Let's take that to prayer, shall we? We're going to start through the joyful mysteries now. We finished the glorious last week. So let's begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. Mary is invited into the plan. And you know what? She says yes. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, welcome back to Ordinary Time. where we commune with God in the ordinary comings and goings of our life. May your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.